Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, it is 18 after on this Thursday. Glad to have you along for the conversation. My next guest has a lot of conversations going on because he's part of the opposition party, if you will. Congressman Dan Kildee of Flint here with us today, Democrat. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a lot going on. This is a frenetic pace in Washington these days, a lot to keep up with. And I guess where I'd like to start today is the American Health Care Act and what it would take for a Democrat like yourself to find some common ground. I know the Republicans haven't even found common ground yet, but I'm trying to figure out what might work for people to improve Obamacare, which most people agree is not working for the vast majority of Americans. What say you?
Well, I mean, first of all, you have to start with a bit of a reality check in that the Republican plan uses the same basic architecture of the Affordable Care Act. So for all of the criticism, it basically uses the same structure. It's just different allocation of the resources. You know, there is the Medicaid expansion. They have a different way of doing it, and unfortunately that, you know, cuts a lot of people out of Medicaid. There is direct support for premiums, although in this case we feel like it's not aligned right. So what it would take for me would be just sort of recalibrating what they have put in place so that the Medicaid expansion is not so dramatically cut, not so many people kicked off Medicaid, and realigning the premium supports so you don't have such a heavy hit on that 50 to 65-year-old age group, which right now, the way they've got it structured, it's just a hit over the head. It's really big.
Well,
now,
I'm in that age.
I agree that there should be changes to the Affordable Care Act. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think Republicans or Democrats right now are coming to the conclusion that this is the change that will work.
All right. So when it originally went through, did you support it when Obamacare originally went through? Were you a supporter?
Yeah, in broad form, there were things I didn't like about it. I wasn't here.
I understand
one
that.
One way or the other.
That's why I didn't ask you to vote it, but I just wanted you to support it.
In general, but you know, I think there are some obvious structural problems with the Affordable Care Act. No question about it.
All right. So we look at this, and because what I'm trying to figure out is if it's even possible for Washington to work properly, because the CBO said that this thing is going to have problems, 24 million people off here in a few years. But the CBO was completely wrong about Obamacare, too. So I don't know how much faith I put in the Congressional Budget Office in their modeling and so forth.
Well, you know what? That's really an important point. Because what this, and I don't mean to be a defender of the CBO, because I've had my problems with some of their analyses. But it's a little disingenuous for the Republicans to worship at the footstep of the CBO every time the budget is put in place, but then pick apart this analysis. And here's the problem, and I don't mean to get too picky about this, but the CBO analysis about the Affordable Care Act assumed that the exchanges would be available across all states and that all states would have Medicaid expansion.
Right, which didn't happen,
course,
so there's a big problem.
It did not happen, so it's a little unfair to the CBO to say that they should be held to the numbers that they projected when there was a major change.
I don't trust their numbers at all. I mean, I've seen so many irregularities with the predictions that they've made. They're not particularly reliable when it comes to numbers. So I agree, but it's politics. I think you'll give me that it's politics. The Republicans like the numbers when they like the numbers. Democrats do when they do, and when they don't, they complain about it. I think it goes across party lines on a situation.
Right,
like
but
that.
I think we could all agree that the plan would mean that a lot of people would go from having coverage to not having coverage.
We could
argue about what the numbers.
Well,
are.
That's true, but a lot of people wouldn't be required, and which I don't think the government has the. Don't think it's the government's place to require somebody to have insurance, but that's neither here nor there. We do it for cars. Some people say we should do it for people. So it is, but right. You do agree there should be changes.
For sure.
Okay, so
sure.
Let me ask you this: do you think, because I want to shift gears now, this travel ban now set aside by a judge in Hawaii? Does the president of the United States have plenary power or not? Because it seems to me that anything this president is going to do is going to be opposed by somebody in Hawaii or California, Oregon, wherever. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is just going to play along with whatever stands in his way. Is there something wrong with putting a temporary, a few weeks is what we're talking about, delay until we try to figure out how people come to this country from certain other countries that don't have particularly good ways of vetting people? Is that wrong?
Well, I think there are a couple issues. One, I do think there's a legitimate question about where the president's authority begins and ends. And you might not be, you might be a little surprised to hear me say this. I think we have to be very careful about where the courts can intervene into what is clearly presidential authority. That's a separate question from whether or not this ban actually does anything, because I don't think it does anything to make us safer. But that's a separate question from whether or not it's under the president's prerogatives. I have not yet read the Hawaii judge's ruling. I think there's also a Maryland case.
I don't think that ruling's come out in Maryland. Did the Maryland rule? I'm not sure it came out yet. But I agree with you, and I give you credit, because I think you're a stand-up guy for this, for the fact that you say, I'm not sure that the court has that power. You know, whether we could debate the fact whether the ban makes us safe or not, but that's a separate issue. I agree with you on that, because if you start letting the courts dictate, it's a dangerous place to go, because whether it's a Republican in power or a Democrat or whatever the case may be, if people that are appointed and not elected start, well, basically doing your job and the executive branch's job, that's probably not the best place for us.
It is not. I agree. And I think policymaking, generally speaking, should be left to the executive and legislative branch. And the court's role should be to rule on constitutionality. And we should try to stick to that structure, because that's what the framers intended.
You're kind of a rebel out there, because you're a guy who has said on this program that you're willing to work with Donald Trump if the things are right. I've got about 30 seconds left. Did you agree with him saying that we need to revisit miles per gallon fuel efficiency standards to help work with automakers? We got about 20 seconds. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I want to work with him on that, but the details matter, because it has been those CAFE standards that even people within the auto sector has said has pushed them to innovate around fuel efficiency. So I want to be careful about how we proceed on that.
There you go. Congressman Kildee, always appreciate it.
Thank you much.
Thank you so much. Congressman Dan Kildee here on the Steve Gruber Show.